Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Time to get a gun.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to Slam Fire Radio. This is episode 103 for April 17th, 2015. I'm one of your hosts, Trevor Furlott.
And I'm the Owenator.
Fantastic.
And that's spelled with an 8 in the middle.
Owen.
Oh, Owen. I have a picture of his. Quiet, Matthew. I have a picture of Lawson Nader's license plate, and it actually does have an 8 in it. Owen, you're a dink. Go ahead, Matthew.
I don't know what I was going to say anymore. Oh, wait, I'm Matthew. That's what I was going to say. Hi. Welcome back.
Hi, Matthew.
Sorry we were away for a whole week.
Yeah, it's not our fault.
Of course not. It's
know.
Owen's fault.
Whose fault?
What do
you
I don't know.
What do you mean, away for a week? It's our regular schedule. It's not like we skipped a week with the kids or something.
No, I'm just saying it's been 7 days since our listeners got to hear our sultry voices.
It's been 7 days since I talked to Trevor, and it hasn't been long enough.
That's not even true.
But
funny,
it is funny.
It's not true.
I actually called you, didn't I?
That's right. Oh, I spoke to Owen this week more than you, Matthew.
Huh.
Oh, that's not true.
Yeah, so does that make you feel like a third wheel? Are you going to whine too, Matthew? Or
I am not. In fact, you can call him more often if you like. Give me some free time.
it's like that. I see. All right. Well, so we're off to a good start.
Here
there's
we
a
are.
Whole pile of hate being thrown around. That's good.
Yep.
Good news.
All right.
Let's start off right off of the bat. Let's completely go off the rails and not follow the script.
No.
We've got two things to announce, and I feel like doing it now, and I'm lead host, so I'm gonna.
You can do whatever you want when you're lead host.
We have three spots opened for the Daniel Shaw Clinic. We have a second instructor coming, one of Daniel's buddies, who also works at Thunderbird Tactical and an old Army buddy of his, will be joining Daniel to teach at this year's Carbine Clinic. And as a result, we've been able to add four spots to the class. One of them is already gone. Muffin will be taking one of the four.
So and when we announce four, we're really announcing three.
We're just announcing. Well, you know what? He hasn't paid yet.
Oh,
so,
he has. Okay. First EMT, first in.
Yeah. But yeah, no club president. He's threatening to pull the date on us if we don't let him in. So
right.
Go figure. Pulling rank and stuff. And I think Rick... we'll be talking to Alex. These are names that mean nothing to the average listener, but
means something to me.
Yeah, they're folks.
It'd be awesome if Alex
trained.
Came back.
Yeah,
because Rick is coming for sure, right? And so is Jess.
Yep. Cool. He wants Alex wants into the Tommy class pretty bad too. So if anybody can't make Tommy, let us know so we can get Alex in there.
Cool.
And the other big announcement is we're putting together a T-shirt order. We put it out on Facebook, and several of you have followed the instructions and emailed us.
That's the thing. If I don't get an email, you're not getting
a shirt. Yeah, so
you can post about it on Facebook all you like, but if I don't get an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com, you're not getting a shirt.
Yeah, so you, the guy who sent us the Facebook message that we've all read, we refuse to acknowledge it.
That is you.
That's you, yeah.
We speak to you now, directly.
I'm not copying and pasting it into an email for you either. That's way too much work.
Yep.
So, colors, Matthew, have you confirmed that we can get some colors going on here?
We'll have the colors we had last year for sure, and I'm working on tan as well. So the colors we had last year were black, dark green,
you mean
dark
flat, dark
blue.
Earth.
Yeah, tan. and purple. So the purple is generally for the ladies and kids, but I don't care if 10X wants a purple shirt. I'll get him a purple shirt.
Cool. All right, well, gentlemen, why don't we jump into what we did this week in guns? Owen, what did you do? What did you do? What did you do?
What did I do?
With guns.
Okay. I'm glad you clarified
that.
Yeah,
I know I had that, like, I walked in the kitchen and caught you with your hand in a cookie
exactly.
jar.
Exactly.
Yeah, what did you do?
Nothing, Daddy.
Did you pull a gun out of that cookie jar?
Yeah, I didn't do anything with guns.
Make it epic.
Yeah, no, I didn't do anything.
All right, Mike. Matthew, what did you do?
Yeah, you might as well call me Mike, too.
Oh, you guys are losers.
Yeah.
Man,
yeah.
We were busy.
We were busy.
You were you were busy.
Just
I know what you were
guns.
Doing. When is this going to come out?
It's not a secret. It's not a secret. No, I'll tell them. I don't care. Owen and I bought an airplane. So
he's not even joking.
No, we bought it. So I've been back in the air with my flight instructor getting my private pilot's license recurrent. So I've been really busy studying. I had to rewrite an exam, which I am proud and will brag to say I got 100% on.
Yes.
And is that all?
That is it. I tried to do
more.
I thought
I told you to get 110.
You did, and I failed miserably.
Failed me
again. I only got 100. So yeah, no, we've been doing a lot of aviation stuff actually,
we're a Spitfire, right?
It is a Spitfire, yes. No, but we are going to mount guns on it and a minigun and maybe like some sort of cannon.
Oh man, can we hunt deer from this thing?
That's what I was thinking. That'd be so much cool, except that it's specifically
illegal.
Explicitly illegal.
Yeah,
so no, this will not happen, unfortunately.
Fine.
So anyway, we will get back into guns and we will have interesting things to talk about next week. I really hope.
So I'm gonna find out if I can get permission from the president for you guys to land this sucker at the gun range, and you can just start flying to IPSC matches.
That would be cool. I mean, it's an off-road type aircraft, which is kind of funny. It's not your conventional
aircraft.
Always fly off-road.
We always fly off.
Yeah, technically all aircraft are off-road vehicles.
Yeah, it's more of a bush plane than Piper Super Cub. That's sort of the
right.
The type of flying we'll be able to do with it. It's not as fast and doesn't lift as much, but it's that type of aircraft. So
it's one of those ultralights on steroids or something, isn't it?
Yeah.
Light than it is ultra?
It's very ultra. Yeah, it has a horsepower to weight ratio similar to a Corvette. It's very, very power.
Can you do loops?
You can. It's not certified for it, though. It's a utility type vehicle. The wings would come off. They probably wouldn't if you did a loop. But they do come off if you want to trailer it somewhere. Then they come off quite nicely, actually.
I don't want to find out if the wings come off when you try your first loop.
No,
I'll hold the camera.
You hold the camera on the ground is the safest spot for you, except I might land on you. So be ready to run, but not up any sort of incline.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. So you guys bought a plane. Super.
Yeah, so that's what we did. So, Trevor, what did you do with guns?
Oh, I like it. You always do that to me when you know there's something in the show notes archery related with guns.
Well, I wanted to hear about the guns.
I took a gun to an archery tournament, got arrested. And we laughed and laughed. I need bail money. Yeah, I shot the Archery New Brunswick Indoor Provincial Championships. The target shoot was on Saturday, and the 3D shoot was on Sunday. I was a lot more comfortable in the 3D shoot because I was shooting my hunting bow, and it's a little easier to shoot at a more forgiving 3D target than it is at shooting spots. They changed the scoring. I'll never understand this. There are 11 scoring rings on an archery target. There's a tiny little ring in the middle with an X on it called the X ring, and then there's the 10 ring, and then the 9, and then the 8, and then
Let
the
me
7,
guess.
And so on.
Right, there we go.
So in compound archery, X is worth 10, and 10s are now worth 9, and 9 is worth 9.
Wow, that makes...
So, yeah, if I shot a bunch of 10s and you shot all these sloppy 9s, we'd get the same score. But who actually shot better? Who was actually closer to the middle?
Yeah, you. I mean, I like the original way where if you shot all 10s and a couple of them were X's, you got 10X. You know.
You would write on the score, let's say you shot X10-10.
Yeah.
Didn't matter the order you shot it in, that's how it would appear on the card. You'd actually put the X down, and then you'd write the 10s down. And if we both shot a 300, we count our X's. And
whoever has more X's wins.
Right. Now, yes. Lancaster Archery in the States, they got really revolutionary, and they said, you know what? We can count to 11.
It goes up 11. To 11.
Exactly. So if you shot an X, they wrote an 11 on the score sheet.
Well, you know, and that works too.
Yeah,
but this whole 10s are worth 9 is, if you ask me, that's bullcrap.
Yeah, it's bullcrap. But whatever. It's tremendous.
But we're not going to complain about that on a gun show.
No.
Except that we just did.
Yeah. Because you know.
Now, I want to chime in here because I did follow you on Facebook there while you were there shooting, and you posted a really cool picture. And I've heard about them before. I don't think I've ever seen one, though, especially not in real life on Facebook. There was a Robin Hood.
There was actually. It's funnier than you know. So there's this tiny little gopher target, a woodchuck, a groundhog.
How much wood could that woodchuck chuck?
He couldn't chuck nothing. He's made of foam. Anyway, so the standing woodchuck against a rock, and it's about 23 yards out, and there were two scoring rings, two vitals, one on the chest and one on the back just behind his arm, and they angled them in such a way that basically only 50% of that scoring zone was exposed. So it was a very challenging shot for anybody that was a little skittish or a little punchish. And in the first line in the morning, gentleman from Fredericton, Mr. Murphy, and his daughter, and two other people were shooting. And Alyssa shot first, and she shot in the 10. And Dad came right behind David and drove his arrow into the back of her arrow. But she had these aluminum collars on the back of the arrow, which prevented another arrow from driving right down the center of it. So it would have been a Robin Hood, but that aluminum collar caused his arrow to bounce out. He still got the same point value.
Okay.
She did because he hit the back of it, right?
Sure.
So that would have been a Robin Hood. In the afternoon, Alex shoots his arrow right to the X-ring, and David follows him right behind. They shot within a half a second apart.
Wow.
Alex's bow went off, then David's bow went off. Alex went into the 11 ring on the little woodchuck, and David's arrow followed right straight down the back of it.
Robin. Wow.
And when it's a Robin Hood in the X-ring, I always say it's two good shots, right? If you rob somebody in the 7, well, really? Come on.
Yeah, whatever. What? Yeah, you just missed as well.
Yeah. Exactly. It's two bad shots, yeah. So, yeah, it was fantastic. There were a lot of good shooters there. The scores have come way up. I was looking at the results a while ago, and I actually finished 13th, and I thought I was going to be in, like, top 8. When I got out of archery, we were winning tournaments. It's a perfect score would be 440 mm-hmm. for a round of 3D indoors, and we were winning with low 400s. The right. winner of this tournament was 423, and the top 8 were all over 400.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I had a 392, something like
respectable.
That. Respectable. Oh, very happy with it, considering I haven't shot in 4 years, and I didn't have, I normally used to shoot a tricked out. Basically, picture a race gun in Ipsic. Well, that's what my bow looked like. It had.
I'm not surprised. A little, not even a little bit.
Exactly.
So you basically shoot the 1911 of bows. I love that exasperated sigh.
It's painful, painful. So what I did was, I just shot my. I bought a bow this fall because I wanted a hunting bow. I didn't, I just want to be proficient with a hunting bow. And so, good practice, going to practice and then practicing those skills in a tournament.
In a 3D tournament, that much more so because they look like little animals. So
that's right. And it's unmarked. So you need to, it's good practice at judging your distance.
Yep.
So every once in a while, I would lose points, not because I made a bad shot. The windage was correct, but the arrow was either too high or too low because I misjudged the distance.
Right.
So that's where a really, really fast bow helps. You get a, with a short course like that, short as in the longest distance was 27 yards, you get a bow that's super fast with a lightweight arrow and you zero it for 10 yards. It will stay in the 10 ring on every animal from 10 yards all the way out to 27 or 30 yards without ever having to adjust your pin.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about aiming off. You can just, straight
it
on.
It just shoots that flat. Well, I would never aim off. I would either use multiple pins, one sighting pin for each distance, and I would either 10 I would hold in there, 20 I would hold in the middle, and 25 I would gap. So I would use the space between the pins, and then 30 I would use the 30-yard pin. But I use one pin on a pendulum sight. So I swing a lever in the back, and it moves the scope with the pin either up or down.
That's how my bow works.
Yeah.
You know how my bow works? I put a mag in the bottom and rack a 22 shell into the barrel.
Yeah. I like them. I like them, Owen. But I sometimes like multiple fixed pin sights more. But the one I had, actually, I sold it this morning for $200. A guy... a guy was posting. I was looking for some archery equipment on Archery Talk, and a guy said he was looking for this one particular make, model, and brand of sight that I had. It came with the package I bought in the fall, and I flipped it for $200 shipped to Timmins, Ontario this morning.
Cool.
So, and reason I sold that sight, we get off our archery now.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Well, one more thing about archery. I was on New Shooter Canada with George Hatch after I got home from the provincials to talk about what somebody who wants to get into archery should do, you know, right, where to start, that sort of thing.
Well, that sounds like a good episode for somebody who wants to get into it then.
Yeah, it was a fun show.
Cool.
The reason I sold this sight is while I was at the provincials, I got a text from Filthy telling me all my M1 Garand parts are in.
Woohoo!
Yeah, so you and I will go visit Filthy at the end of the month.
Sure.
And go build my Garand. So it's really cool. It's going to be a Frankenstein. Obviously, the receiver is a Beretta.
92?
No, but see, it's not that Beretta, though. And it may not even be pronounced Beretta. I'd have to look at it again. Anyway, the barrel is the barrel and the stock are the only things that are newly manufactured. Everything else is leftover.
Oh, okay. So,
the stock is a Boyd stock that Filthy is fronting me for now until I get my own, either replace it with buy him a new Boyd stock, or I'd like to put an original Springfield stock on it if I could.
Does the Boyd stock look like the Garand stock, though?
I mean, it's never beat a German to death in a trench, so it's kind of lacking the character.
Well,
but
we don't know. I was going to say, do we know any Germans? But none that we want to beat to death, so
no,
probably better not. Take a pass on that.
Yeah, we've moved on. We're friends now.
We are friends. They're cool.
So that would probably create a diplomatic incident, I'm pretty sure.
Especially if that's the only reason why you did it.
Yeah.
Yeah. This ain't never beat no German. That's awful. Edith, we love you, Edith.
We do. And you can still come to the charity shoot, and Trevor won't even beat you with the stock.
You need to cut this whole thing.
Never.
Guess who's the one that's going to get the beating?
Yeah.
Styx is going to crush my head like a grape.
I hope so. I hope I get it on camera, too.
Oh, man.
It'll be good. No, it'll be fine.
I feel like I should just give her the rifle now when I see her.
This is yours now.
This has really gone way too far. Anyway, the barrel is going to stay the same. I don't know what I'm getting. I got a really good deal. I mean, the barrel new was $250. The rest was just miscellaneous. Anyway, the whole build is coming in under $1,000. Really happy. So, and I think the only thing that I can see myself changing, I may try and get a match grade sight for it, perhaps, like a national match sight.
And a laser, right?
No, an original stock, an original sling, and
an aim point.
So where's the AFG go?
So, no, there's no AFG.
No rails.
I want this to be original and looking like it used to beat Germans. I can't did it again. Jack, look.
Wait, are you going to put a bayonet on it?
Pacific too, man. It could have been. I want a stock that beat a Japanese person to death. That's what I
look. Any of the Axis, really?
Can you guys fire me now?
Oh, I don't think we need to.
Oh man,
that's anyway. Terrible. Funny, terrible. But terrible. But
funny.
Look, I'm not going to apologize for what happened in World War II. I'm going to apologize for Trevor on behalf of myself and Owen. But
anyway. What else? I loaded up some 44 Magnum tonight, and again, I ran into a bit of an issue. I was talking to Owen about this a while ago. Those 44 pieces of brass that I, from my original box of ammo.
Wait, you had 44 pieces of brass, or was it 44 brass?
Yes.
It was both.
Yes.
So, when I dropped the bullet into them tonight and seated the bullet. The bullet was so loose you could just spin it with your hand and almost pull it out, push it down as if they hadn't been resized, but they were all resized. I tried to resize some in those RCBS dies that I had and they didn't quite fit right. And then I borrowed Mark's Lee dies and resized them all in that die and something's funky. I don't know what's going on. I tried to the Lee set that I got from Merck has a die that allows you to bell the case and dump the powder right down through the die. So I did that. And when it came time to seat the bullet and crimp, they didn't want to crimp correctly. The bullets I'm using actually have a cantilever on them. They're a Campro 240 grain full metal jacket bullet. And there's a cantilever built in, so I tried to get a nice roll crimp. I picked out a piece of factory ammunition that I have, and I was looking for the same kind of crimp angle. Didn't work well at all. When I noticed that the bullets were loose in the case, I said, the heck with this. I had them all charged with powder. I grabbed another box of 44 Magnum brass. Actually, there's a listener, Byron. Big shout out to Brian, Byron. He sent me a message randomly on Facebook, said, what's your address? I gave it to him and said, well, now that I've given a complete stranger my address, I suppose I should ask why. And Byron was kind enough to put about 200 pieces, 150 pieces or so of 44 Magnum brass in the mail for me and shipped it out from BC. So thank you, Byron. That was awesome. Anyway, those pieces were resized, and I didn't bother to bell them. Didn't worry about it. It wasn't a lead cast bullet. It was just a full metal jacket bullet. Threw it on. Seed it, crimped it, looked like factory ammo. So I don't know what's going on with those. And there's something else. When I cleaned those 44 pieces of brass off the original box of ammunition that I bought, I mistakenly left the tumbler on all night. And it actually discolored them. They're a really odd color. They're not like the color brass anymore. They kind of turn orangish.
Huh.
I'm sure that's unrelated. I don't know. Maybe I don't know what's going on, but I'll try resizing them again. Of course, they're all primed. I'll just take the decapping pin out of the mandrel.
Yeah,
I'll take the mandrel out of the die altogether and try resizing them and see what's going on there. But anyway, I loaded up approximately 50, 44 Magnum. I consulted a whole bunch of different reloading recipes, and I decided to go with – I saw some powder charges listed as low as 18 grains for the powder I'm using and as high as 24.5, and – I settled on 23 grains, so I didn't go all the way, and I didn't go max charge, but I didn't go.
So you're putting into your 44 cases about as much as I put into my 223, just a little bit less.
Yeah, actually, I could put in 24.5 if I wanted to.
That's
which 24 is all I use in my AR plinking loads.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
and you shoot that with one hand.
Oh yeah,
Trevor doesn't.
Well, no.
Trevor has both hands.
Oh, so now I have to do it tomorrow at the range and make a video.
Well, at least that's one way to get people to do stuff with guns.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Call them out.
Call them out.
So, anyway, that's all I did. What about, we're done. It's on to upcoming
events.
What
about upcoming events?
Upcoming events, yeah. We have the 5th annual charity shoot on June 27th. All proceeds going towards the Dalhousie Nursing Home Foundation. It'd be small bore silhouette, which is like just gallery style 22 at little steel silhouettes and a trap shoot simultaneously. Go shoot one, go shoot the other one. Cost is $25. I don't think we've ever announced that as of yet.
Oh.
Shirts will be ready in time. You can either pick them up, or if you're not coming, I suppose we'll ship them to you, but it'd be a lot cooler.
If you're not, we'll ship them if you're not coming, but if you're coming, just pick them up there at the shoot.
What else we got? So a little rifle shoot, and then in the afternoon, a IPSC style mini match. On to July 3rd will be the para course with Tom Nelson. There's a mini match, a mini IDPA style match on the 4th of July, which everyone is welcome to attend.
Bring Summer fireworks.
So, yes, that's right, because it's the 4th of July. We've got to make Tommy feel at home. SummerSlam, our club's IPSC Level 3 match, will take place on the 8th and 9th of August. Registration is open. There's about 20. We lost one or two. I think we're at 26. There are 26 spots left. The NFA AGM will take place in Quebec City on May 23rd, 24th. The CSSA AGM will be May 30th. Starts at 10 o'clock at the Ottawa Convention Event Center. And One Shot Tactical Ontario IDPA Provincial IDPA Provincials. Tier 2, so it's a Tier 2. What does that mean, Tier 2?
One above Tier 1, or below. I don't know.
It's not quite a Tier 3. If you're in IDPA, maybe
you might know what that means. We don't.
Yeah. So the IDPA Provincials, Ontario Provincials, will be August 15th. You can go to www.2015opc.com for more details. And, yeah, as I mentioned earlier at the top of the show, Carbine Vitals 2 Clinic has 3 spots available. Cost is, Matthew?
The cost is officially $400 US, and you do the conversion and figure it out. Right now, it's about $490 Canadian with the current dollar where it is. So we're hoping that the dollar R strengthens a little bit so that it's a little bit more cost effective for our Canadian shooters here. But it is $400 US. So whatever that ends up being at the time that we send him the money, that's what it's going to be. So
cool. So sign up. It sold out quick the first time.
You're getting your value here for this. I mean, yeah, 400 is twice what it was last year, but it's 2 days this year.
And 2 instructors now.
And 2 instructors. And, yeah, it's going to be amazing instruction. A lot of really good lessons to be learned there, I think. So,
cool. Okay, let's jump into our news. Matthew, would you be so kind as to take the first one?
Sure. This first one is fatal shooting by security guards proving to be a complicated case. And we covered this a couple of weeks ago where there was a security guard who was in McDonald's having some food and became involved in a shooting and ended up killing 2 people. And the police, it sounds like to me, are trying to figure out how to charge him. Is how I read this article. And I'm not going to read it for you, but I'll sum it up.
That's how I read it, too. We haven't charged him yet, but we're still looking for a reason.
We're looking for... Because basically, they don't want to set a precedent here where somebody with a gun is able... Who's not a police officer is able to use that gun to protect his life. And they do go in and say this is a bit of a unique case because, yes, he was on duty, but he wasn't at his duty station, if you will. He was just on lunch, but he had his gun with him.
If you remember, this is what I said they were going to try and nail him with. He wasn't hired to protect the McDonald's, so they may push to the point of saying, well, he should take his gun off when he's not actively working.
Right, but the thing is that the procedures that they have for carrying their guns, and this continues to come from the article, is that it becomes a security issue for that firearm. If you're required to disarm before you go eat, where do you put your gun? You're not going to go back to the office and put it in a lockbox.
If you stop at McDonald's on the way home from the range, which you're allowed to do, where do you put your gun?
Well, it's not on my holster to begin with, though, and it's not loaded.
No, but...
Right? So, yes, they could take it off and lock it up, but what they find is happening, as I understand it, is that the more times the gun is handled, that increases the chance of negligent discharge. And so they just want to leave that loaded gun in the holster where it's safe.
Yeah, and you and I both know this, but sure. I'm just, again, playing devil's advocate. These are the kind of arguments that we're hearing.
Yeah.
And
Anyway, that's why they're saying that. And so he had his gun on, and that the procedures were approved by the CFO. For them to remain armed on their lunch duties, I mean, those types of things need to be approved before you can start an armored car service. So it doesn't look like he broke any rules. He didn't break any policy. He just went in with his gun on because that's what he does and that's what everybody does. Going to grab lunch, he found himself, and now I'm speculating, he found himself in a life and death situation where he had to defend himself, and so he did. And so now the powers that be are going, we can't let this happen. Quick, figure out a way to charge him.
Yeah. And unfortunately, fortunately, it hasn't been quick, but it's the tone of the article, listeners, is that basically this. We haven't charged him yet, but we're still looking at it with a fine-tooth comb in case we can't find a reason to charge.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, they actually state in the article, this was homicide. We just haven't figured out what kind of homicide it is.
Yeah, because there's such a thing as culpable. There's such a thing as culpable homicide.
Yeah, it's always homicide. It's just, you know, in the States, it's not murder unless you have malicious intent. But if you take someone's... when the state puts someone to death, the cause of death on the death certificate is homicide.
Yeah. Yeah, they were still killed by another person. That's what homicide is, being killed by another person. It's Latin or something. I don't know, probably.
Right. But it doesn't become murder.
No.
Unless there was malicious intent. Right. Unless you can prove malicious intent.
Yep.
So.
Anyway, okay. we'll continue to watch this, and I'm sure there will be news if he is charged, and probably a little bit less news if he isn't, because it's not as exciting if he's not, I guess. But if we hear more about this, we will pass it on to you guys, and I'm hoping that he just, you know, says good job, you know, and carry on, but I don't think that's going to happen.
No. So the good news is they haven't charged him. The bad news is they haven't let it go yet.
Right.
Owen, would you like to read this next news story about the Supreme Court?
Sure. The Supreme Court of Canada has ruled the Harper government's law requiring mandatory minimum sentences for gun crimes is unconstitutional. By a 4-3 margin, the High Court has upheld the 2013 Ontario Court of Appeal ruling that labeled the law cruel and unusual in contravention of Section 12 of the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. Tuesday's ruling is a setback for the government's tough-on-crime agenda. The court was deciding two appeals involving mandatory minimum sentences for gun crimes brought by the Ontario and Federal Attorney Generals. The top court upheld the appeal court's quashing of both a 3-year mandatory minimum for a first offense of possessing a loaded prohibited gun, as well as the 5-year minimum for a second offense. The Ontario and federal governments argued that the minimums do not breach the charter protection against cruel and unusual punishment. The new sentencing rules were enacted in 2008 as part of a sweeping omnibus bill introduced by the federal conservatives. The two governments say they enacted the mandatory minimums in response to the increasing number of handgun possession cases coming before the courts. In one of the two cases that made up the appeals heard by the Supreme Court, a young Toronto man with no criminal record was sentenced to 3 years after pleading guilty to possession of a loaded firearm. The judge in the case said that without the mandatory minimum, he would have sentenced Hussein Noor to 2.5 years.
Oh, whoa. Ooh, good thing.
Yeah. In the second case, Sidney Charles pleaded guilty to firearms offenses after he was found in his rooming house bedroom with a loaded and unlicensed semi-automatic handgun. He was sentenced to 5 years because he had two previous convictions. In defending the mandatory... What's that?
I said I'm okay with that. He's a repeat offender.
Yep.
In defending the mandatory sentence for repeat offenders, Ottawa and Ontario argued that it is within a reasonable range of legislative choice. The Supreme Court has clashed with the Conservative government on several key policies, although it recently sided with Ottawa over the destruction of the gun registry data, which Quebec sought to preserve. That win for the Conservatives came after several losses in Canada's top court. The justices rejected Prime Minister Stephen Harper's appointment of Quebec Judge Marc Nadon to their ranks, stymied an effort to stop judges from giving extra credit for time spent in custody before sentencing, and ruled that Parliament could not reform the Senate on its own.
What I find hilarious about this is that the Liberals are in the left side of the spectrum there. Those people are at the same time cheering and crying because, yay, we stuck it to Harper and we got rid of mandatory sentencing, but it's about guns. Ooh, guns are bad. We need mandatory sentencing for guns, but we gotta do something to vote Stephen Harper. And so they're like, they're conflicted, which I find amusing.
I never, mandatory sentence is like zero tolerance policies.
I don't like either of them.
Yeah, they generally don't work out well because it just there's always going to be circumstances. And it would be great if it applied only to gangbangers. But it
yeah, I mean, you can't say, okay, if your pants are down around your knees and your cap's on sideways, this applies to you. You can't do that.
But you, Mr. Farmer, who forgot the unlocked 22 in the barn because you were shooting rats, well, we're going to give you 3 years in jail because when we showed up here for another reason, we found that unlocked 22.
Yep.
Give me a break.
Yep. That's why I don't like that. I'm glad that this was struck down. I mean, I wasn't happy when it was put in the first place. You know, understand that just because we're gun owners and that we support the Conservatives, that doesn't mean we think everything they do is gold. Mm-hmm. You know, we appreciate that they do go to bat for us a bit with the guns. And, you know, I'm on that political spectrum. I'm on the right side of the political spectrum, but I still don't agree with everything they do. So,
nope. No, just like I'm not opposed to everything the liberals do.
Right. I'm not. No, of course. You know, there are some things they get right. And I just wish that we could just take the best from both sides and put it together and get something that's reasonable.
Yep.
But anyway. So, yeah.
Yep. Well, yeah. Okay. Well, generally, this would be the time of the show where we would go into our main topic, but we're actually going to cut it a little short this week and skip the main topic for this week. And unless, Owen, do you have anything for the Warriors Ethos Project?
I didn't plan anything this week, no.
But do you have anything?
What?
But do you have anything?
Oh, no.
No. So you didn't plan anything, but you don't have nothing in your back pocket to kind of...
No.
Let's quickly talk about seed
not germination. Not at 10:30 he doesn't, no. At 10:30 we go into listener feedback.
Yeah.
All right. First one comes to us from Ian. He says, good evening, gents. Finally picked up a Glock 17. Finally. Good for you. Had a quick question, and who better to ask? No need to share on the show.
Well, too late.
Anyway, Ian. Yep. Not a fan of knowing the guide rod is plastic. Good idea to swap it out for a steel or tungsten one? Yes. Any leads on a good place to get one? Coming up dry with Canadian dealers. Thanks for your help, Ian. As far as Canadian dealers go, I would probably try Questar. I think they usually have a large selection of Glock aftermarket Glock parts. But other than that, and I sent Ian an email on this. I used to get all of my Glock stuff either from Glock Works, which is a Zev dealership, or the Glock store. The Glock store I used to go to primarily for factory Glock parts, but I see now that they are expanding more and more into aftermarket Glock parts as well. So it was very quick to find on their website. You can get a Gen 4 tungsten or a Gen 4 steel. Something else you can do, Ian, I'm not sure if you're aware, but they make a bushing that fits in the front of the Gen 4 slide, which will actually allow you to use a Gen 3 guide rod and spring. And so there are full-length tungsten and full-length steel as well. If you don't like that dual recoil spring and want to go back to a single spring, you have that option as well. And that's also something that's available at the Glock store. So don't worry about not finding it in Canada. Just head on over to the Glock store and Lanny McGill will hook you up with everything you need.
Cool. Now that being...
Oh, wow.
Huh?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hello.
Go ahead, Matthew. Sorry.
Hello. Is this thing on? I was just going to say, is it such a bad thing to have that guide rod plastic?
Well, no, I don't think so. It's not a part that's failing. We don't, you know,
there's
now
no,
actually.
There's no pressure on it, right? All it does is keep the guide or keep the spring from bunching up kind of sideways whenever the slide reciprocates.
When the Gen 4s first came out, there was a recall on the guide rods. I sent my original guide rod back and got the replacement guide rod. I don't know if Owen, you had your Glock 17 before me. Did you ever have any guide rod issues? Did you go through the recall?
No, I've never. I didn't know anything about it.
Oh, see, there you go. You probably have one of the ones that was supposed to be recalled and you've never had an issue with it. Yeah. I can tell by looking at them next time your Glock is here. I'll have a peek. Sure. And let you know which one it is.
And I've got some rounds through my gun. Like, it's not. Like,
yeah, you do.
I don't
yeah.
shoot it. I've got thousands of rounds through it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, Matthew, I think it's a cost saving measure.
Right.
I always prefer steel guide rod because I think it's going to last longer and it also adds just a little bit of weight to the gun to help keep the muzzle down.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, and Glocks have always had that captured plastic rod. It's just one of the things that they do. So.
Yep.
I thought we had more than that. That's
nope,
our
that was
email.
I kind of chuckled to myself when you said this first email comes to us. I'm like, yeah, this only email
this
comes
first
to us.
And only email. Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you, Ian. If other listeners out there would like to send us a question, comment, concern, critique of Matthew, you can do so by sending it to slamfire@nothing.
I'm not the one that wants to beat people to death with wooden stocks.
It's not. Listen, I know the show is for entertainment purposes only, but I still think you're twisting my words a little bit.
I don't know if I am.
Listen, any blood stains on this rifle stock will be old. I promise you.
Or Matthew's, apparently.
There you go. Yeah, there, right there. That's Matthew's tooth. You see that?
Yeah, look at that, embedded right in that stock there.
Email us at slamfireradio@gmail.com. If you're a counselor, please do not apply. iTunes. Did anybody think to check American and Canadian?
I did not check either.
We're awful. anyway, leave us one anyway, and we might get around to reading it, because, you know.
Probably next week, maybe.
Yeah. Any shout-outs, gentlemen?
I have none.
Owen?
Nope.
Me either. All right. Check us out on the Crusader Podcast Network at crusaderpodcast.com. Join any or all of our National Firearms Associations. It's important to support them if they support you. Check out, see the dig I stuck in there?
I see that, yes. Yeah.
I'm not bitter or nothing.
That's why you're lead host. You can say whatever you like, apparently.
Apparently.
Even if it's beating people to death with wood stocks.
I never said that.
Oh, did I mention that already once?
My bad. Times.
See that dig I did there?
I did that. Did you know that the butt plate on the back of an M1 Garand is made of metal? You're going to.
I should compliment you, actually, Trevor, in your defense. Your defense? No. Your offense of 1911 on Facebook today, I think it was.
Uh-huh.
I saw that. That was good.
Oh, the...
Shout out to Jeff, you know who you are, for posting another outdated and irrelevant article about 1911s.
Yeah, well said. Yeah. Actually, you know what? So talking to Bolivar, right? And he's like, I'm going to listen to the show, and we're joking back and forth and stuff. And then he calls me up and he says, yeah, he says, I'm pretty upset about the show. I said, oh, are you? He said, oh, I think I was trying to throw Matthew under the bus. I'm like, Matthew is being all diplomatic. I'm trying to like gang up on George and have some fun. And Matthew's like, well, no, we got to keep it fair. And I'm telling Bolivar about the joke about I'm never taking this guy to court.
Right.
And so Bolivar calls me back. He goes, yeah, listen, and you're right. I am upset. But I'm upset with you. Where do you come off? Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, because Brian likes the 1911s.
Well, yeah. Apparently, I sounded like a jerk. He had the same concern that George had, that I was changing the definitions and changing my arguments. Whatever. Anyway, George was a great sport. And I told, well, you know what? It's satire, right? And apparently I suck at satire. He's like, no, you don't come off as being satirical. You come off as being an a-hole. Okay. I guess I got to work on my satire.
I guess so.
Yeah. Yeah. So check us out on Gun Owners of Canada and go like us on Facebook. And until next week, I'm Ron Burgundy, and I'm going to take somebody shooting.
And you're going to take him out with a wooden stock on a Garand, too.
Warning to everyone, he takes shooting.
Say goodbye already.
Goodbye already.
Bye already.
See you next week, everybody.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something. When the talking is over, it's
time to get a gun. And there, okay, so I'm recording again. So say something funny again so we can have outtakes.
Owen, your name comes after my name because you're hosting next week, okay?
So this is actually on the record now. It's been recorded that, Owen, you're second and I'm third. So let's see if we can screw this up.
Wait, no, you're doing it wrong. Oh, heavens. It's going to sound something like this. I'm one of your hosts, Trevor Furlott.
And I'm Matthew McClatchy.
I was just trying to walk Owen through it. Oh, Matthew, could you just mute your mic for a second?
Oh, sorry. There's a mute button, right?
Man alive. It's funny. All right, come back, you big dork.
Oh, and then this button was pressed, but I didn't think it was, but here we are.
All right. Are we ready?
I am ready.